Welcome to Cannabis Business Minds Podcast with your host, Simone Samaluka-Radzins. Join me where I'll take you inside the ins and outs of this brand new and exciting business called cannabis. Connect with me on Calligia.com and follow us on social media as well. And here's today's show.
But Kate, I'm so happy to get you on Cannabis Business Minds. You know, I remember meeting you at MJ BizCon like back a few years ago and have just followed what you've been doing in the space and been so impressed with your branding, your marketing, your mentality of, you know what, like there is no no. No is negotiable in this space. And, you know, I was so happy to learn. Like I learned this, even though you started your business a year ago, I think I just caught wind to Tarot CBD and was just needing to get you on the show to talk about cannabis business and your jump first into entrepreneurship. So welcome and let's dive in.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and share my long-winded cannabis journey and how I got into the space and, you know, talk about the entrepreneurship journey. So just like a little backstory, like I've been involved in cannabis for a very long time. So I started growing in college in like 2009 and have always kind of taken like a counterculture path. You know, I worked as a sports agent, then I went to Nordstrom Corporate and worked in fashion marketing. And so I've always kind of had these jobs that were a little bit different than, you know, the regular 9-to-5. And so when I was, you know, thinking about leaving Nordstrom, I was still growing cannabis and living like a complete double life and nobody knew what I was up to, and had the opportunity to work at a cannabis tech startup based out of Seattle. And so, you know, really diving into that startup mindset kind of prepared me for my entrepreneur journey. And I was there for 2 years as a VP of marketing. And in that time, you know, I went to every conference, I met every single person I possibly could. I took every opportunity to just network and speak and be around, you know, all of these people and, you know, understand the energy and learn from them and, you know, their success. And so when I left there, I believe it was 2.5 years ago, I decided to start a cannabis marketing agency. I was like, I'm going to be my own boss. I'm going to do this like big thing and have this agency and I'm going to work with all these clients. And then, you know, the next thing you know, you're like 7 or 8 months down the line. I was having a really hard time scaling because I was juggling so many clients and working, you know, 12-hour days, 7 days a week, and realized like I wasn't my own boss. I had multiple bosses now, and I had so many like, you know, different people that I had to answer to, and was just dealing with like such ridiculous burnout and fatigue. And started to kind of look at my own personal health and what I could change. And within that is kind of how Tarot CBD was born. Was, you know, deciding to really take a leap of faith and be my own boss and, you know, tie my entire, you know, life savings and earnings into sales in a very saturated market. And, you know, it's been a wild and crazy ride for the past like 6 months. I've had a lot of success, but I've also had a lot of days where I'm like, what am I doing? And I think, you know, that's just part of the journey. And, you know, I'm really excited to be able to take, you know, a moment to do something for myself. Is this going to be a forever thing? I'm not really sure. But it's really empowering to be my own boss, actually be my own boss. And, you know, walk from my bedroom to my office every day and be like, well, I'm at work now. So I'm like, happy to be here. I haven't put real pants on in a week.
No, I mean, the work from home, it's a hard thing. It's like you almost have to check yourself like, oh, girl, I am going to be a CEO. I'm going to make sure that I can put on the mindset of I'm working versus I'm at home. Like I've noticed, I mean, so you work from home right now, right?
I do.
Yeah.
I tried working from coffee shops, but like I like to have multiple monitors. You know, I just like, you know, like to spread all of my things out. And so when I get to a coffee shop, I feel so confined on my laptop, like I'm not getting enough done because I can't see everything that I want to look at it, you know, at once.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Do you have like a morning routine when you get into your day? So you kind of block off that, like, oh, I woke up and I'm going straight to work, or like, how do you kind of make that little jump so you don't have that burnout?
Mm-hmm. So I wake up pretty early, usually like around 6:30, when my partner is leaving and getting ready to go to work. And I actually like make a cup of tea and clean my house so that I have nothing else to distract me throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And usually like around 7:30 or 8 is when I start to like get into my morning routine. Between like 8 and 9 is when I syndicate all content and like respond to LinkedIn messages, respond to emails, post things for the day. So really try and like get all of the outward facing communication done as early in the morning so that I'm not distracted, so that I can work on like the day's task. I have been actually leaving the house at like noon or 2 every day to go to yoga or take my dog for a walk to just move my body, because now that I'm working, you know, 10 feet from where I sleep, I feel like I'm sitting constantly. So that's been like a really big a helper in keeping my mental, you know, state sane and kind of refocusing my energy for the afternoon.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I feel like we have to break it up and also batch. That has been, you know, such a good way to focus and just like GSD it, get shit done.
Exactly.
Also, right. And then also working on your, I mean, like working from home, I know you probably have a team, but like if you're managing everything, you've got your dog, but it gets a little bit lonely, right? And like being able to probably just like get out of that that space for a minute, it probably gives you a new perspective when you're getting back after yoga.
Absolutely. And so just, you know, I moved to Oklahoma City a year ago or almost a year ago from Seattle. And so I don't really have a community here like I did. Mm-hmm. And so I'm already isolated. And then you add working from home and like there's this extra level of isolation. So I've now become that person like at the grocery store that wants to talk to the Trader Joe's clerk for like 25 minutes because I'm like, be my human interaction for the day. Like, so I have to leave my house and I have to go talk to people. And I'm just like adopting new strange behaviors that are like not, you know, comfortable just talking to strangers because I'm, you know, starved for attention.
Oh my God. Yes. I feel you.
It's so funny.
I feel you. Like this move, it's been very interesting because there's so many new things, right? The environment's completely new. There is, for me, I don't have a community at either. And like, yeah, and you work online, you work on building your business, but you have to get out. How is the entrepreneurship community in Oklahoma? Because I know it's like Oklahoma is just off the charts. Like when you just think about the industry in cannabis, right? Or well, cannabis and really, I guess, hemp. Like what's going on there?
Yeah. So, I mean, the cannabis community here is very excited about, you know, medical cannabis, the plant, the industry. So it kind of reminds me of like medical California circa like 2010, where everybody's still like really involved and it's not so much a number budget raising game. It's more really about the excitement of the product and having access to it. So with that, I mean, there is an overabundance of growers. There's an overabundance of retailers, but there is, you know, vertical integration here. So we're seeing, you know, the ebbs and flows of the market and also the volatility of like the outdoor grow season here. I think a lot of people thought that they were going to be able to come here and just grow cannabis outdoors, but didn't really think about the environment and that it's, you know, ridiculously hot in the summer, but can also monsoon rain. There's a ton of bugs. So they're really like fighting the elements. So we've seen a lot of transition in terms of the industry. It is an incredibly progressive state. It's not like what you think of when you think of Oklahoma. And I've met a lot of women who are, you know, building businesses in and out of cannabis and really like making their niche. You know, a couple of the girls that I'm becoming friends with or, you know, building a community with are like independent photographers and run vintage stores and have, you know, like one girl has this really great, natural wellness shop, which you wouldn't really think of in Oklahoma, that carries like all these Goop approved brands. And so it's, you know, it's really trying to be a lot bigger than what people, you know, think it is. And it's really nice. It was really nice to get here and realize that I'm, you know, in the Bible Belt, but people are pushing out of that mentality.
Oh, that's nice. Well, especially coming from Seattle, I imagine that that would be a shock if it was just that mentality and people weren't kind of trying to get out of it.
Yes. Yeah. It's, I mean, I still get invited to a lot of church functions and, which is totally great. Like I support, you know, anybody's views, but it's just strange coming from Seattle where like, I didn't talk to my neighbor that I lived next to for 5 years to get invited, you know, to basically everything that my neighbors do.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it's community, I suppose. And just, it just shows how different each of the states are in the United States.
Exactly.
Wow. So you made kind of, so you decided to make this shift, right? So you're, you know, mm-hmm. the agency, you're like, you know what? I feel like I'm, you know, I'm everybody's kind of, you're working in client relations. Like you almost feel like everybody is kind of your boss and you're like, okay, no, I'm going to start something new. You make this shift, you make this decision to make the shift. Walk us through, like, was it Oklahoma that brought you, like, what brought you to Oklahoma and what brought you to discover CBD instead of THC? Like, how did Taro CBD evolve?
Absolutely. So what brought me to Oklahoma is my partner was part of a grow in Washington and they bought licenses here for a grow, a processing facility and a chain of retail stores. So at the time I was working, you know, independently at my agency and was ready for a change and ready to get out of Seattle. And so when this opportunity arose, we're just like, well, let's go, let's see what it is. Let's give it, you know, a year and a half. And so, you know, we got to Oklahoma and as I got here, it was just kind of, you know, a complete switch of being so busy and, you know, having to hustle so hard to afford to live in Seattle and to keep up with that energy mm-hmm. and getting here and realizing like how simple and easy my life could be and how, you know, I could offload stress and still financially be okay was kind of like a, you know, a shock to the system almost. Like I went from working so much to getting here and having a much slower pace of life and really appreciated that. And so with that, you know, I actually worked for his company for a few months doing all of the retail buying and inventory and got to understand the market here. And a big piece of that was buying and looking at all of the CBD products. And so really on that path and on my own wellness journey is when I decided to kind of switch from the THC side to the CBD side. You know, there's also the ease in marketing CBD versus THC. So really wanted to challenge myself to kind of create a national brand versus having to do a state by state growth plan.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, and it's just, I mean, there's no, I mean, because this is actually Farm Bill's already passed. Like you don't have to worry about 280E. You don't have so many of the barriers that cannabis businesses face. It makes sense.
Exactly. And so with that, I just kind of wanted to exploit my own skills and my own strengths and see if I could, you know, make something in a saturated space like CBD. And like I said, there's some days where things are going really well and other days where I'm like, how did that even happen? Or I've been building this whole campaign and now it's being shut down. And so I'm still running into those issues, but it's, you know, fewer and far between than THC.
Yeah. And I think that like one of your major wins this year was that your product is now on Saks Fifth Avenue CBD Beauty Corner. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes. And that was, you know, that was just like a fluke of talking to the right person on Instagram of all places. I do a ton of business like conversations on Instagram in direct messages and, you know, being able to just schedule a call with them and walk them through the products and walk them through why I started the company. And it's been a really beneficial partnership. I'm really excited to be there. And it also, you know, builds a lot of trust in the brand when you start to have these larger retailers buy into what you're doing.
Oh, absolutely. And it also just gives you that pat on the back, like that I think sometimes we just need, like, that's a big win. I think a lot of businesses, you know, hope to get there someday and you were able to get there in a year. That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Especially because, you know, one of the biggest challenges that you mentioned was, you know, how do you continue to kind of build a unique and consistent brand story in such a saturated market. Right. And, you know, first and foremost, like your background is in marketing, it's in branding. For you, could you break down just so people can understand that are listening, like what does it mean to build a brand?
Oh, that's such a big question. I mean, for me, it's about aligning all of the messaging to be consistent and believing in what you're doing. So, you know, there's a lot of brands out there and a lot of CBD brands, especially that are pretty soulless in terms of like, you can tell it was built for profit. Mm. And so I look at those and I think like, you know, you can be the biggest or the best, but you can't be both. And so those are like the biggest bunch. And I want to be part of the best bunch. And so with that, when I look at my branding and when I look at what I'm doing across social media and the conversations I'm having like this, it's always, you know, really educating people on CBD, and it's educating them on my products, and it's, you know, using my products, and not just selling to sell. Mm-hmm. So, you know, building a brand, it can be done so many different ways, but building a brand for me is really personal. And I, you know, put a lot of my own personal health and story into it because I want people to understand that they can make a shift, and can explore natural remedies like CBD and herbal supplements.
Well, and when you go to your website, I think it's really interesting. I'm curious, like, how the tarot, kind of what the evolution is there. But you can see that it's, everything does feel consistent. And there is so much, I'm almost like, let me go back to your website. There's like so much love in this interesting way built around the website itself. And then what I find interesting, and I'm curious how you made this decision, is like, yes, we hear there's an about, you know, section of your website, but you aren't the brand. And what made you decide to, you know, build a brand independent of yourself, but you are also kind of the CEO behind this and you are telling your story? Like, how did you make that decision to build a brand, not necessarily building a brand off of you?
Yeah. I mean, I think that there is a lot of people who need to believe in something other than what is handed to them. And I'm saying that in terms of like Western medicine and understanding that there's, you know, different approaches to healing and health and wellness. And so telling my story within that, you know, there's, you know, a bigger conversation, I think, for everybody to take a look at what they're putting into their body every day and then decide, you know, do I want to continue down this path or do I want to try something new and see if this works better for me or see if it replaces something that I'm currently using? And like it says on my website, like at the time that I was, you know, kind of conjuring up tarot, I was, you know, on Adderall. I was taking Xanax every day to go to sleep. I was suffering from like horrible depression and panic attacks, like just kind of hit, you know, a wall and had a conversation with myself about like, what are these drugs going to do to me in 40 years? Like, really, we don't know. And that to me was terrifying, especially because like Alzheimer's runs in my family. So I was just kind of like, I can't be continuing to be dependent on something when I don't understand its long-term effects. And so decided to switch. And, you know, I'm hoping by sharing my story, I'm empowering other people to kind of look and make a decision about what they're putting into their body.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible that I read it on your website. Now you're not on any of those, right? So like you made the shift to CBD and it's really helped with your sleep and with your, just your stress levels and all of that.
Absolutely. I still do use THC regularly throughout the day. I also microdose mushrooms, psilocybin mushrooms, you know, quarterly for about a month at a time. So I'll take low doses for about 30 days, to just kind of keep the depression at bay. I know that depression is something that I am just genetically, unfortunately going to deal with for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, using all of these plant-based medicines has helped me. I'm not a doctor and I can't say like, everybody should quit everything that they're doing and change over and this is going to work for you. But I can say like, trying something different is not a bad idea. Consult your physician first, and see where you can go and see what you can do and see how you can access parts of your brain that maybe have been dulled by different drugs and interactions.
Yeah. Or even just like the food that we're eating. I mean, it's just so interesting.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go on a full plant-based diet and I had a cheat day and had some chicken a while ago. And I noticed the difference of, you know, what that actually does. And it's just so interesting of, you know, how getting back to just like the holistic non-processed, just like from the earth type of remedies, food and, you know, food and medicine, what that can do to our mindset.
Absolutely. And, you know, the funny thing about moving to Oklahoma is right before I got here, there was an article that I read and Oklahoma is a food desert. And so what that means is that it takes a really long time for like fresh fruit and vegetables to get here. And so by the time it gets here, the expiration date is like, I buy lettuce and like 3 days later it's moldy. And so right now I'm actually in the process of just building like a huge garden in my backyard because I'm like, I can't actually get access to the things that I want to eat. So for the first year here, I have not been doing my body any like due diligence. I've just been eating whatever I can in terms of just getting sustenance and haven't been able to access, you know, what I'm used to. So I definitely feel the difference now that I'm starting to incorporate all of my own vegetables. Yeah. And I'm excited, you know, to have a project that gets me outside.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that, you know, what's so interesting is I remember listening to a podcast from the mayor of Oklahoma City about how that city used to be one of the most obese cities that there are, and how over the course of several years, they kind of redesigned the city into making it much more of a fit city. But that's so much of the dialogue between, you know, health and wellness. A lot of times, you know, food companies want you to think that it's all about moving, right? But I mean, it's so much about nutrition. And so that is so fascinating to hear that it's a food desert, and that just getting basic access to some of the nutrients is hard. Like, that's just, it's mind boggling, actually.
I have to go to like 3 different grocery stores to do my grocery shopping every week. It's crazy.
Oh my God. That seems like that's gotta be an interesting opportunity for somebody to build a, You know, I wanted to invite all of you listeners to join Cannabis Business Minds online. It's an opportunity for you to be able to list your business and list your services all for free. You know, I believe that we're better together, and it's the time now to make sure that you are getting your business out there. So please join cannabisbusinessminds.com. You can create your free profile and list your products and your services and connect with myself and a lot of the guests that we have on the show. Integrated like a greenhouse to grow vegetables and figure out a delivery system, but maybe somebody is focusing on that, and hopefully it will happen. But that's really, really incredible. Wow. Thank you for that.
Of course. The fun facts of Oklahoma.
Wow. You learn something new every day. Well, I want to, before we dive into advertising and marketing, I did want to understand, what about tarot? Like, why that name? You know, is that part of the brand strategy and your story? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So I am like a firm believer in everything happens for a reason, and like following signs and numerology and really paying attention to like my outside environment. I'm an introvert by nature, so I'm always kind of observing everything that's happening. And so for me, using tarot, using astrology has been something that I've done for years. And so really, you know, when you think about tarot and you think about following the signs, you can almost like interpret that into your body and following the signs of like what it is that you need. And so, and you know, in my mind, they, you know, have, you know, amazing synergy in between like health and actually following the signs and paying attention to your surroundings.
Oh yeah. I'm a huge tarot fan, and I just love just even how you've created these different experiences on your like content related to tarot, and it just seemed very holistic. So it's just so great. Cause also you're definitely attracting, maybe that person who believes in tarot, who still doesn't know about CBD. Mm-hmm. Right? So there's that mix where you're not just focused on targeting. And that seems like that's something that you've always been able to do, because I, you know, one of the things that caught my attention, this was like back in 2017 in your old job, with Wiki, where you were able to kind of pitch a new way of advertising to get cannabis kind of advertised in the sky. And it just seems like, has your mentality been, you know, let's not just talk about cannabis, let's not just talk about CBD when you think about advertising these types of products?
Absolutely. I think that there's, you know, there's part brand and there's part marketing in everything that I do. And so when I say that, it's, you know, I created CBD hair care because not only is it great for your scalp and it reduces inflammation and it, you know, helps with dandruff and strengthens your strands, but also there wasn't a lot of people creating shampoo and conditioner. And so from a marketing standpoint, you know, that's great for SEO, that's great for building content, that's great for PR. And so everything that I do kind of, you know, spins into, well, how can I market this? And so with that Wiki ad, it was, okay, well, you know, they're not going to let me just advertise like find cannabis when you land. So how can we, you know, have a conversation in flight that, you know, showcases cannabis, but also plays by their rules. And so, you know, the whole message with that was a PSA around, please don't fly with cannabis, find it when you land. And you're just changing like small words. You know, you can really create a niche in anything that you're trying to do and anything that you're trying to market.
Oh, I like want to underscore that because that's so important, especially today when there is so much saturation in everything we do, from just like looking at our inbox and seeing all of the different like newsletters that we're getting and, you know, even going somewhere. And I think about intent-based searching and how, you know, what is somebody going to do to find you if they don't know that you exist, right? Like you, there's so many websites. I read the statistic. It's crazy. There's one blog post for every eight individuals in the world.
That's crazy.
That's so crazy. That is insane, right? And so For me, it just like, it's mind blowing because I talk to so many people, they're like, oh, I'm building a business, I'm going to reach this many sales goals. And for me, there's such a direct link between sales and marketing. Like you have to have both those. And then behind both of those, you have brand, right? And so when I hear people that are trying to pitch investors or trying to imagine that they're going to get a huge, you know, a huge sales goal, accomplish a huge sales goal for the year, yet they don't know how they're going to get there. And they just think, oh, well, if I just blog. No, there's so much more than doing that. And I think it's so critical what you just said is like, you always have to be thinking about marketing and thinking about SEO, which in cannabis is very hard though.
It is. I mean, you have limited places to put your content and to, you know, get it recognized. And what you're saying about marketing and sales, I actually spend 70% of my time on sales and business development and only 30% on marketing. And that's because like right now I'm trying to generate revenue in order to create more content.
Yeah.
And so really, you know, coming in as like a wanting to be a fast growth, like quick startup is I have to then spend all of my time doing something that isn't my background. But within that, I'm taking the things that I've built for marketing and being able to share it with the people that I'm trying to sell to. So it's, you know, it's this little ecosystem that people don't always realize. And I would always preach this when I was at WikiLeaf is like sales and marketing need to have conversations and they need to have them constantly because whatever marketing is doing is going to help sales and whatever sales is doing is going to help marketing.
Oh, 100%. And how did you decide to do that percentage shift, right? Like how was it kind of trial and error? What made you kind of know those numbers?
Honestly, I've self-funded this entire business and I'm still self-funding it. And so for me, it's looking at runway and it's, you know, setting, you know, very intentional goals in order to maintain growth. And so understanding my output and then saying like, okay, here's the amount of time that needs to be spent on sales, given, you know, the close rate on deals or conversations that I've had. So it's really just been like a trial and error and learning process.
Yeah. Well, and what I like is that it all goes back to numbers, right? So you know what your offering costs are, you know how much money you have left in the bank, you know how long it takes to convert a lead to a sale and probably then to collect. So that's great. It's interesting because I've been focused a lot more on marketing and not so much sales. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, two interesting things, I guess. So you are selling direct to consumer, but you're also, right, because you have an e-commerce site.
Yeah.
You're also getting into retail outlets like Saks. So your sales is probably, are you spending it like split between B2B and B2C, or are you just focused on B2B?
So the 70% is usually focused on B2B and business development, like publication outreach. I also have a publicist that I work with, which is super helpful. The 30%, I would say, when you're looking at marketing is really about that B2C marketing. And so like you were talking about email, we're talking about social. I'm actually making a shift from email, which is crazy because I have been like the biggest believer in email marketing, but just feel like we've hit a saturation level where people are looking at emails like less and less and less. And I'm going to try and go to a text-based marketing system and see how that works and see if I can penetrate, you know, more consumers via text message. And so we'll see how that goes. It's launching next week. There's also, you know, a piece to that that's leveraging other people's communities. So I have an affiliate program that I run where I give everybody, you know, one product free a month, but they have, you know, goals and tasks that they have to, you know, unlock to continue to get that free product. And that's been very successful. And then also, you know, leveraging other people's communities. So like next week, I'm also launching a campaign where I spoke to 30 women about what wellness is to them. Because I think the term wellness is so overused. And it's just like this idea that we can all live Jennifer Aniston's lifestyle somehow. And so, you know, really just like leveraging their communities, building content to share on that platform to reach, you know, consumers that I would have never been able to reach or would have never even thought to reach. So, you know, it's a big mix of, you know, sales, marketing, but marketing for me is the sales for B2C or direct to consumer.
Yeah. I mean, that makes so much sense. And thank you for kind of splitting that out. Where do you see advertising falling into all of this, right? Because it's a component of marketing. And I guess where I kind of want to go is a lot of cannabis businesses, and it seems like CBD, it's interesting. You seem like you have kind of a challenge getting into kind of Facebook advertising with Tarot. Are, you know, a lot of them are like, oh my God, I just don't know how to market. I just don't know how to advertise my product, right? And where do you think, you know, are you seeing any current trends that are happening right now in cannabis and CBD advertising?
I mean, I think right now we're seeing a lot of the Facebook advertising for well-budgeted CBD companies. And what they're doing is they're using a workaround where they're taking, you know, an ad that doesn't necessarily portray their product unless it's a topical, and putting it to a landing page, and that landing page connects to their website. But, you know, from the back end of that, I've helped a couple of clients previously set that up, and their cost per acquisition is actually incredibly high. So if you don't have a huge marketing budget, that is not the way to go. If you do decide to go that way, I would say don't focus on conversion and focus solely on some type of hook to get more of their information. So an email, a phone number, some way they then continue to remarket to that person. And so one of the ways that I do that is that I give away a tincture every week. So I run paid ads through like secondary networks like Outbrain. They do not convert, but they do convert an email. So, you know, my email pop-up is like, win a free tincture once a week. Like, I will give this to you. And you know, that's a really easy way to get a lot of traffic, get their email address, and then continue to have a conversation with them.
Yeah. Well, it just shows how complicated the funnel could be, right? Like, it's not, I think so many people are like, oh, I'm just going to advertise. I'm going to make all this in sales. Well, no, you're just getting, if you're advertising, you're getting them to click somewhere, or like you said, kind of capture an email, but then how we were even talking about, and I agree with you so much, Kay, like, I think that email marketing is hit an oversaturation point. I get so many emails every day. I don't even click them. And I think you're quite wise for kind of making that shift. But it's a very long process to, you know, when you think about marketing, someone's not just going to buy straight away. Like, you are engaging in this conversation.
Yeah. It takes like 7 or 8 different, you know, engagement coming from different places, in order for people to purchase. And so, you know, the loop of sales is slow. And so when you're a new business and you're starting up and you're funding it yourself, you're kind of, my patience gets a little thin sometimes, because I'm like, I'm doing all of these things and you don't see the return, but you also have to understand that it takes time for people to trust your brand. So, you know, for me, that's like, I have to remind myself that every day, like, be patient. things are growing. Like, this will happen.
Right? It's part about that. Especially, I'm not sure if you're a type A personality or not, but I am sometimes, I think, my own worst boss, because I set these really incredible deadlines and goals and I will work to achieve them. And, you know, some of this stuff, like especially in cannabis, is unprecedented. Like, sometimes we are the ones that are trailblazing, and there are so many different hurdles that happen. And I think maintaining kind of, you know, the progress, not perfection mentality, and living each day like, okay, well, what am I going to do today? It's, that seems like it's the way to sanity.
Yes. I write down on a whiteboard, like my overarching goals for the week, and then every day I have a to-do list. And so it kind of keeps me on track, but also doesn't keep me cemented in a deadline. I'm a natural procrastinator. Like it is just something that I wish I could, you know, I wish I could change it about myself, but I just can't. So I have to like work under pressure. And so at least setting like small goals for myself for the week and then giving myself like a small to-do list, because I used to take a to-do list and write down like 40 things. And then I would just get so overwhelmed by looking at it that I would, you know, start vacuuming at 11 o'clock instead of, you know, doing what I'm supposed to be doing because I just can't even fathom starting a task. And so now I'm like, I'm writing down two things in the morning. And if I get those two things done, like I am so excited and happy with myself. Like, this is great. Like, yes, I achieved something today.
It's the small wins, because I think like it's all about project management, right? Because you still have to do 40 tasks, but you've now kind of like prioritized, like these are the two that are like definitely the most important. They're what's going to help my business grow, whatever you do to prioritize. And then you feel the reward when you do it versus like, just, wanting to be like an ostrich with your head in the sand otherwise.
Exactly. Yeah. And I, you know, having the agency prior to doing this, I have a lot of contacts and a lot of really great freelance help. And so I also know like my strengths and weaknesses. Like I graduated college kind of pre-digital marketing era. So, you know, traditional digital marketing, like digging into Google Analytics and understanding, you know, all of the different pieces of that is not something that I am super familiar with. Like I am more content marketing, social marketing focused. And so really being able to like understand my own strengths and weaknesses and then hire out the help has been absolutely like beneficial in terms of like achieving goals and getting things done.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because like, if you think about it, like if you're not good at something and it's going to take you 5 hours to do this task, well, you have to associate those 5 hours. If I'm paying somebody, whatever, $20 an hour, I have five hours to generate a sale. Right. And that sale is going to be way more than that cost.
Exactly.
Yeah. I want to talk before we get into the speed round, just quickly about mindset and mentality. One of the things that I just loved with what you said was just like, you know, in marketing and cannabis, you often hear no many more times than you say, than you hear yes. And no. And what you said was, you know, I believe that no is negotiable. How did you get that mentality? I think it's so important for people to realize that no is not no.
Yeah. I think that really comes from like my personal upbringing and how I was raised, to be honest with you. Like, I don't really have a, like, how do I put this the right way? I don't really have a safety net. So for me, like, no is not negotiable. No is like, okay, well, I have to find another way because I have to survive. And so for me, you know, when I hear no, I'm like, that's great, but I still have to do this because I don't have another option. And so it's all about really survival and then continuing to grow and making sure that I'm taking care of myself. And so that's really, you know, a product of how I was brought up and, you know, the atmosphere that I come from. And it's been, you know, also kind of a hurdle for me because I have to let some of that go too. Like I have to realize now I'm at a point in my career where I don't need to be so scrappy and that I can actually take time and be thoughtful with my decisions, and that no can actually mean no to me now and I don't have to push so hard. So, you know, there's an ebb and a flow, and I can be my own worst enemy in that regard.
Well, I like it though, because I see both sides of it. And I think that when you're in sales, I think that people often feel very discouraged if they hear no. And I've always thought, well, it's not right now. Right. And so I think that, you know, finding the way to convert a no to a yes, that I think is the that's tact and tactics, right? And like, it might not happen overnight, and it might not happen for a year, or it might not happen ever, or it might happen like when you just ask somebody, well, why did you say no? Do you have any kind of insight, or can you share like your strategy? Like if somebody says no to you, do you, you know, what's your first kind of way in the negotiation?
I mean, it depends on the size of the company. So like if somebody says no to me, there's somebody else I can talk to at that company that's possibly going to say yes. Mm-hmm. Or if they do say no, then I ask people why. And it's really funny when you ask people why after they say no,
yeah.
like their reaction, because they're not used to that. And so they have to come up with, you know, an argument on the spot. And I've already got a counter, you know, figured out based off of, a few different options of what they're going to tell me. So it's really, you know, either I'm looking for somebody else to talk to, or I'm asking them like, literally, why did you say no? Or why is this not going to work for you? Let's find a solution. And then, you know, walking them through so many solutions, basically either until you wear them down or until you do have to find somebody else to talk to. So
yes. Oh, I love it. I love it.
I'm that annoying person.
No, you are persistent. That is great.
Yes.
All right. So are you ready for the speed round?
Yeah.
Woohoo. All right. What are the top three guiding principles in your business?
Honesty, transparency, and work ethic.
Yes. I love all three of those. What scares you the most about growing your business?
Failing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm like just, you know, not succeeding in something that I'm doing and actually being told no, but not necessarily no directly from a person, but no from the universe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because as entrepreneurs, we should be failing all the time, but I think it's like how
Absolutely.
We act, right? So it's like, is that you can have, you, we have fails every day, but I think, you know, reminding ourselves that fail, maybe that's a new lesson or a bigger opportunity, but I think that everybody's with you on that one. I definitely am. All right. Last, but certainly not least, what part of being an entrepreneur excites you the most?
Waking up every day and making a decision and it, you know, it being my decision and not having to go through, you know, the democracy of an office or which makes me sound really like stubborn and one-minded. Like I will take people's feedback, but you know, to switch from email to text message marketing, like I got to make that decision. And that feels really good. And so really being able to make pivotal decisions that change the future of my business is super exciting.
Yes. All right. Well, Kate, thank you so much for joining. How can people find out about you? Where can they connect with you? Could you tell us a little bit about that before we end?
Absolutely. You can always find me on LinkedIn. It's Kate Manson. You can find me on Instagram at tarotcbd.com, or you can find tarot at tarotcbd, or it was at tarotcbd and at tarotcbd.com. Sorry. Tongue twister.
It is a tongue twister, but easy to find. Definitely a good URL.
Yes. Tarotcbd.com.
Perfect. Well, let me just end the recording. All right, let me stop the recording. Do you want to stop?
Thank you for listening to today's show. This is your host, Simone Simaluka-Radzins of Kalogia.com. I hope that you find this episode entertaining and insightful. My goal is to educate all of you about this exciting business because knowledge is power. If you haven't already, head on over to Kalogia.com to connect with me and to meet other business leaders in the professional cannabis community. Also, if you like this, please go into iTunes and leave the Cannabis Business Minds podcast a 5-star review. See you next episode.